and welcome to the Fidelity Next podcast, a podcast for post-secondary students brought to you by Fidelity Investments Canada, where we'll provide you with the tools to navigate your career successfully in today's landscape. In today's episode, we sit down with three communications managers at Fidelity Canada who will share their different career journeys and how they've landed their roles in the financial services industry. Guests Rachel Beveridge, Manager, Corporate Communications and Community Affairs, Amanda Neem, and Tamara Radici, Communications Managers, discuss their experiences in the communications space, including content writing to social media, to internal events, webcast production, and thought leadership.
So before we take a deep dive into your career journeys, if each of you could briefly describe your role here at Fidelity. Amanda, I'll start with you.
Yeah. So I'm a communications manager on the corporate affairs team. So I have a few key portfolios, being young investors, which is our under 35 audience, sustainability, corporate giving, and then recently we've been focusing a lot on social media. So finding, you know, new platforms and relationships for Fidelity. So that's been a big bucket of work. And then within all those things, it's a mixture of internal communications, external communications, and media relations. And of course, it's comms. So there's stuff that pops up daily that is outside of your core work. It can be crisis planning, project managing, moderating webcasts, hosting company meetings, creating presentations. Every day there's something new and exciting.
And Rachel, what do you do to keep the Fidelity boat afloat?
I'm the corporate communications and community affairs manager. I have a team of five, and we work really hard on mostly internal communications, and our focus is really on making Fidelity a great place to work. Some of the projects that we work on regularly are event giveaways, holiday party, quarterly lunches, barbecue. We have a nice Wonderland summer event coming up that's really fun to plan. We do all of our internal emails in the intranet. We manage and create all of the content for that and send reports on, you know, how everything is performing. We use our internal social media platform, Viva Engage, quite regularly to communicate with employees. I also do a lot of leadership communications, working with the senior executive team on our town halls and our quarterly business meetings. And I work very closely with my colleague here, Tamara, on our HR award submissions. So as you are aware, we win quite a number of awards every year, including Canada's Top 100 and Human Resource Directors Best Places to Work.
Amazing. That was a perfect setup for Tamara.
Yeah, thank you for the segue. So I'm also a communications manager on the corporate affairs team, and I primarily focus on our employer brand, so telling the story of why Fidelity is a great place to work. I do a lot of social media campaigns, focusing on the people and the culture behind Fidelity, focusing on our audience for young investors. And I'm also one of many who produce this show and show students all the different possibilities for a career at Fidelity.
So let's take it back to the beginning. Let's rewind a bit here. I think that a lot of students in high school right now, students pursuing post-secondary education, or even those who have just graduated, have this misconception that what you study post-secondary, whether university or college, is sort of the crux of how your career path journey will play out. But that's not really the case, because you all come from diverse educational backgrounds. What did you study in university? What did you take, and what were some of the courses that you spent time working on?
So I know my path isn't as unique or interesting as Tamara and Rachel's, but I went to Laurier and I did my BA there in communication studies.
Okay. So yeah. Pretty straightforward for you.
Yeah. Nothing too exciting.
Yeah. So for me, actually coming out of high school, I wanted to be a speech language pathologist. So I took a ton of linguistics courses in my first year with some communications courses, and quickly learned that communications was really what I enjoyed. I enjoyed studying the consumption of media and creating digital communications pieces. So from then, I switched gears. I studied visual culture and communication at the University of Toronto. It's a joint program with Sheridan College, where you earn a digital communication certificate. So you study everything from animation to graphic design, web design, and everything in between. And then after that, I did some post-secondary studies, web intelligence at UBC, and public relations at the Chang School at TMU.
Wow. That's a lot. Impressive. Tamara.
So I went to OCAD University, formerly known as the Ontario College of Art and Design, and I majored in advertising. So that was a mix of strategy and brand development, campaign development, art direction design, and copywriting, which is what I mainly focused on. I always was interested in art and English and business, so I felt like that was kind of a place where all of them intersected. And then since then, I've worked in a number of different industries. I worked as an editor, copywriter, in content marketing and in brand development. And I've done that at agencies, in-house, and as a freelancer. So I got a really broad scope of the communication space.
You all come from different backgrounds and you've explored different industries. What ultimately led you to want to pursue a role in financial services?
So for me, growing up, my mom, my grandfather, my aunt, my brother, my sister-in-law all worked at the same company in financial services. And so, having these family members who were a huge influence on me, around me all the time, you really become accustomed to a certain path, or at least I did. It's what I was used to. It provided, a lot of security and purpose to my family. And so for me, that's what the initial draw was.
That's endearing. That's sweet. What about you, Rachel?
So for me, very different. Nobody in my family is in the financial services industry. But for me, money is a really taboo subject, but it also creates so much anxiety for families across Canada. And I remember reading the job description and learning about Fidelity and that their mission is really about building better financial futures for Canadians. And that really resonated. While my function is primarily internal, so I'm not, connecting with clients on a regular basis, I still feel part of that progress in some way just by supporting the organization and the employees here.
And it's so fulfilling and rewarding.
Yeah, totally.
Whether it's internal or external. What about you, Tamara?
So when I started working as an editor, I worked with a team of analysts who wrote investment commentary and capital markets commentary. And that was my first sort of exposure to it. And I just fell in love with the investment industry in particular. So I didn't really pursue it. It kind of found me. and then ever since then, I always sought out opportunities within that space because I could still do what I love to do and learn along the way and work with really smart people.
So Tamara, what ultimately led you then to communications?
Writing was always the most interesting piece for me. So finding the right words to express an idea or get people excited about something. So that's kind of why I went in that direction.
I think it's fair to say that we've all had our challenges getting to where we are now, coming from, well, as we just heard, so many different backgrounds. What are some of the challenges you face getting to where you are now, and how did you learn from those experiences? What did you learn from those experiences? Amanda, let's start with you.
Yeah. So I think for me, when you're fresh out of school and you're getting that first full-time entry-level role, you don't know what to expect, and you go into an environment where you're surrounded by people who have a lot more experience than you. You were trying to get a handle on, the work and figure out the inner workings of the organization and make a good impression. And at least for me, I felt in those moments that, you're not the most confident. And that's something I experienced early on. And I think working through that is about, obviously working hard, but finding a few key people that are role models to you, people that you look up to, people who know what you're capable of and also who advocate for you. And that's something that I was able to find right off the bat. And it really did make a difference for me. And, looking back, those relationships are more important to me now than they were when I had started out.
Rachel?
Yeah, like Amanda, I think some of the soft skills that you don't learn in the classroom are really things that take some time and you have to be patient with yourself and really put yourself out there to gain those experiences. It takes time to really build your confidence, build a personal brand, find your voice. And it can be daunting when you are fresh out of school and you have the capacity to learn and to create really great work. But then there's the nuances of, just how to behave in a meeting or a Zoom call or, do I reply all here? There's so many, just work kind of things that we accept as the norm, but you don't know that fresh out of school. And I think it takes time. And really, for me, like Amanda, having some really great mentors was really helpful. But I think also just staying sharp and staying in tune with your skill set and making sure that you have your finger on the pulse.
Office reminder, not everybody has to be CC'd on an email.
No.
Think about why you're CCing that person.
Exactly.
that's a big one. What about you, Tamara?
For me, it was really working in a number of different industries. You really have to switch gears and change the tone of voice and really speak to different audiences and really get into the head of what's important to them and how to communicate with them. So there's always a bit of a learning curve when you have a new client or if you're, in a new company, in a new industry. And getting to know that really, really deeply, and then getting used to the language that you use to do that. But the way to combat that is, I guess, just get your feet wet and practice, really.
Rachel, what do you enjoy most about being a communications manager?
I can't tell you here at Fidelity how many times people just thank me for my work. I feel so valued, and it's not just by leadership or by my direct manager, but across the organization, everybody really shows appreciation for the events that we plan, even if it's, a treat day in the office. And also the touch points that I have. Every single day I get to work and support with almost everybody in the organization. I helped with an internal audit meeting most recently, the learning and development team, HR. Every day is different. And bonus points also is I have an amazing team that I get to work with.
To expand on that, you mentioned treat days.
Yeah.
Those are my favorite days here in the office where we get delicious goodies from different vendors across the city. But what are some of the other benefits to working at Fidelity?
Well, for me, at this stage of my life, I'm a mother of two young children. And so some of the, flexible work policies that we have here are really so valuable to my current stage. So dynamic working for sure, where we can work with our manager to determine, how many days a week we go in and have those, touch points with our colleagues in the office, but also being able to work from home has been really, really valuable right now. And then we have extensive benefits too. So that's really great. Covers my whole family, everything from, paramedical to medical expenses. And it's really top notch.
That's huge. I mean, I'm not a mother of two or of any children, but I do love dynamic working and that flexibility is fantastic. Tamara, what would you say is unique about a communications position here at Fidelity?
I actually think that the word communications doesn't do it justice, ironically. It's so holistic and there's so much that goes into it. And we work with so many teams. It's so collaborative. Like the digital media team, the marketing team, the product team, research, events. Like we're always constantly working on different projects together and getting people excited about them and telling people about them. And like Rachel said, no 2 days are the same. So one day I might be overseeing a photo or video shoot, highlighting some of the people and culture content at Fidelity. Another day I might be writing a social media campaign, highlighting our new investment education series. And then another day I might be looking for new guests to feature on this show to tell their career stories.
Sometimes I think that keeping up with communications is like keeping up with the Kardashians, because there is just so much going on all the time and it's constantly changing and evolving. How do you keep up with it all?
Mm-hmm. So I'll answer it in two parts. I think obviously, yes, communications as a business function is always changing. When I started, everything used to be really separated. You have a team for internal communications, a team for external communications, and then within the external side, you have people focusing on social media and people focusing on media relations. And now what I've noticed is that everything's, really merged together, and it's important that you have working knowledge of each. So how do I keep up? I think it's about, really being aware of the certain things that you're working on. And if you feel like there's a gap or you want experience in a certain area, you need to speak up and say something. And the other way I'll answer is that, in order to be a good communicator and a good counselor, because that's what you are most of the time, you need to know what's going on in the world and the different ways that people are consuming information. And in order to do that, you need to be a consumer yourself. So it's about keeping up with the news, reading lots, watching different videos, those types of things.
Right. Rachel, is there something that in particular maybe that you do or you use, whether it's an app, to keep up with it all or keep yourself organized?
Yeah, so, you know, like Amanda, I completely agree, you know, staying on top of the news is really key because, you know, everything is really time sensitive and we need to be timely and our communications needs to be relevant ultimately. But in addition to that, something that I think is important is finding your niche and you know, pursue that. So early on in my career, I realized that a lot of people shy away from, you know, website development and communications and lots of the digital tools that we have. But try to just throw yourself into it and try some new things, learn new skills. All of those new technologies are just additional items you can add to your resume. So even still to this day, here at Fidelity, we started using a new tool called Populo for our internal emails. And so that's a new one that I'm learning. But just find your niche, pursue that, and don't shy away from new technologies and opportunities. That's really what it comes down to for me.
Tamara, I know you have your whole web design background. Do you find it easier coming from a background that did tap into so many different areas?
Oh, absolutely, especially when you're collaborating with teams like design and video production. You know the terms they use, you have an eye for what they do, you know all the technological speak, and you can just collaborate better and you have a more holistic idea of how to build something together.
Amanda, what are some of the challenges for a role in comms and how do you overcome them?
So I think a lot of the times it's the same challenge, right? Like information overload. There are so many things within the organization that need to be communicated. There are lots of conflicting priorities. And, you know, ultimately, you don't want to compete against yourself or your colleagues. And I think a lot of the times a key part to being a good communicator is being savvy and innovative and finding better ways to do things. And, you know, a lot of the role is it's not being a yes man. A lot of the times your value as a communicator is in saying no and saying, you know, well, we should not do this and we should explore a better way to do it. And so I think how to get through that is by asking questions and trying to get to the root of why things are done a certain way in an organization, as opposed to just understanding that they're done a certain way and continuing on. And I think that, you know, once you get more of that background, you're able to, you know, work your way through challenges and really make a difference.
And I think that's so important. I mean, yes, we were talking about communications, but that's so important with anything you're in, especially the power of saying no and being able to communicate that effectively. Yeah.
Well, comms is so transferable, right?
Exactly. So there we go. Exactly. Rachel, what has been the main highlight of your career thus far at Fidelity?
One surprising element was how much I would really enjoy working with the co-op students on my team each term. They all come from different universities, different backgrounds, and they're just so on the ball and just such incredible people. And I've really built incredible relationships both with them, but my team and my colleagues across the organization. The people here, as we say, is what makes it a great place to work. And as cheesy as it sounds, it's totally true. But I really admire all the co-op students that I've had the opportunity to work with. And I think that's really the highlight for me.
So for students looking to pursue a role in comms or individuals who are looking to make a career change into comms, what advice would you give them?
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, Rachel touched upon this earlier, but you know, comms is so broad. So I think it's really important to take your time, do some research and figure out, you know, what niche of comms, you know, you're interested in. So, you know, when you're looking for jobs, make sure you're paying attention to the job description and the tasks that you'd be doing each day. And then, you know, when you're making your way through the interview process, make sure you ask questions and always remember that, you know, at the end of the day, it's so important to have a job that you're interested in, but also something that is really important to the business. And I think that once you find both of those things, you'll be a lot more fulfilled.
Tamara, do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, I would say don't worry too much about your major. Like Amanda said, writing and communications is so transferable. It's so broad. Certain people are just naturally gifted at finding the right words to things, and those same people might be data science majors. I remember in one of my roles as a freelance writer and editor, no one even asked to look at my resume. All they cared about was whether I had the chops, so they wanted to see some writing samples. They asked me to do a mock project to see whether I can produce that on demand, but really that's all it takes.
Wow. Well, I want to thank you all for being here today. This has been such an insightful discussion. I've learned a lot. Maybe I'm going to switch. So thank you for joining us today on Fidelity Next. If you would like to find out more about what it's like to work at Fidelity Canada, including current job and co-op openings, head on over to our careers page at careers.fidelity.ca, where you'll find more information on our company, community, and culture. As well, if you'd like to connect with any of our guests, feel free to reach out to them on LinkedIn. Thank you so much for watching, and we'll see you on the next episode.
Thanks for listening to Fidelity Next, brought to you by Fidelity Investments Canada. For more content from Fidelity Canada, follow us on Twitter and subscribe to our podcast on your podcast platform of choice. Fidelity mutual funds and ETFs are available by working with a financial advisor or through an online brokerage account. Visit fidelity.ca/howtobuy for more information. The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect those of Fidelity Investments Canada, ULC, or its affiliates. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be construed as investment, tax, or legal advice. It is not an offer to sell or buy or endorsement, recommendation, or sponsorship of any entity or security cited. Read a fund's prospectus before investing. Funds are not guaranteed. Their values change frequently, and past performance may not be repeated. Fees, expenses, and commissions are all associated with fund investments.